We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
All right, welcome in episode 82 of Hogan Johns. We're coming to you from the lovely Hallis Hall Closet. It's been a while since we've been in here. This is the most crowded it's been since we've been in here. And episode 82, we're taking requests now, apparently. It's just starting on Twitter. Wendell Davis was what was thrown out to me. I promised the Twitter, I believe it was Vincenzo, at Vincenzo's house on Twitter, who requested Wendell Davis. So I promised him we'd go with that.
Now, I got Alan Page, who was here for, what, 3 years, was it?
No idea.
But that was from Dan Aguirre, another loyal podcast listener. I guess we are taking requests. Was it Greg Olson, 82?
Yeah, that would have been a good one. Maybe the best one. But they traded him. Great move. I referenced that in my column today, actually, about the transitioning from Jay Cutler to Mike Glennon. We'll get into that in a second. But this is Adam Hogue. He's Adam Johns. This is the Hogan Johns podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, and read us at WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. We got a ton up this week as it's been a very busy week for the Chicago Bears, and it's been a week since we've done this podcast. By the way, you can get it on iTunes by searching Hogue and Johns. Now, that's all updated since we changed the name, so go there, subscribe. Please rate the podcast, review it. We appreciate you doing that if you enjoy listening to us. So, a lot has happened in the last week. The Bears have made some big changes, specifically at quarterback, by bringing in Mike Glennon. I guess, what are your just initial thoughts? And we're here at Hallis Hall, by the way, today because we had a chance to talk to Ryan Pace. We had a chance to talk to the four free agents the Bears have introduced already officially. And for the purposes of this podcast, we also talked to Mike Glennon and we talked to Quinton Demp. So you'll hear from those guys in a little bit. But just your general thoughts on a busy week for the Bears.
You know, I was skeptical at first about the Glennon move and the Cutler departure. He hasn't played in 2 years. But I've come around on it. I've warmed to it. That's the word I've been using on Twitter. I understand it. It's time to move on from Jay Cutler. He's been here for 8 years. Yes, he could probably still play very capable football, but 8 years is a long time. Now, Lovie Smith had 9 years. You had to move on from that, too. So the departure, in my mind, was inevitable. Where I've come around on Mike Glennon is that he never really got a chance in Tampa. He was caught up in coaching changes. Obviously, Lovie Smith brought in Josh McCown down there. We all know Lovie Smith struggles to correctly evaluate the quarterback position, so maybe that's a benefit to Mike Glennon. But obviously, Ryan Pace liked him coming out of the draft. And look, he wouldn't be the first quarterback to click later in his career and in a different situation. I'm not going to reference Drew Brees like some people are on Twitter, Larry Mayer, but it's happened before. Players click under different circumstances. Could Mike Glennon be it? I don't know, but the Bears protected themselves with a pretty good contract.
Yeah, look, last week when you and I talked about him, we were in Indianapolis at the Combine, and my first reaction right away after hearing these rumors is Mike Glennon. And I think that's a lot of people's reaction because, look, they drafted him. He got his chance. He failed at his chance. And they moved on and they drafted James Winston. That's the outside perception when you're not really paying attention to what's really going on. That's what we call out-of-town stupid. And in this case, well, I'll at least call myself out-of-town stupid when it came to Mike Glennon right away in the initial reaction. We accuse a lot of people of that with Jay Cutler. And there's something to be said for being around a situation, understanding what's really going on, and understanding that there's some valid excuses here for why Mike Glennon might actually work out. There's also the contract, which when we got those first numbers last week, the first comparison we talked about on the podcast and I wrote about is, all right, well, if you're going to pay Mike Glennon $15 million a year, why would you not just pay him Jay Cutler? But the reality is, because Glennon was going to come with guaranteed money spread over 2 or 3 years. Now that we got the contract numbers, we realize that this is mostly a year-by-year deal. The Bears, it would cost them a little bit next year to get out of this, but not a lot, not a ton if he's terrible, and nothing in year three. So this is really a prove-it contract, and if there's incentives built in. So if Glennon comes in, performs well, the Bears make out looking very, very smart because this money still ranks 23rd on a year-by-year average among NFL quarterbacks, which is probably right where Mike Glennon should be. So they're going to look great if Glennon looks good, and if he doesn't, they're probably still going to draft a quarterback this year. There's going to be other options. So this is really not a big – there's really no downside to this deal when you look at it.
You have to keep swinging at the position, and look, Jay Cutler is 33, soon to be 34. We know what he is, and I think he – Look, I don't want to get into what we think of him with the history and what his legacy is. I think some of it's unfair, some of it's fair, whatever. But Mike Glennon is 27. He's younger than him. He's younger than Brian Hoyer. He needed a chance. Pace liked him coming out. I understand that philosophy. Now, this won't preclude the Bears from drafting one. I think the Bears are seriously considering a quarterback in the first couple rounds in the draft in April. But Mike Glennon is 27. The Bears, again, protected themselves very well with this contract. It's $18.5 million in terms of guarantees. 16 of that is in year one. So it's basically, in a sense, a one-year deal for him to prove it. Even that his annual average of $15 million, I think it ranks 22nd or 23rd among starting quarterbacks. So obviously the Bears did a good job of protecting themselves. But the contract can also reward Glennon based on bonuses for and not only playing time, but team wins and individual performance. So I like the way they constructed it.
And for those that don't understand what I'm talking about with what really happened in Tampa and why we probably didn't understand this until we dove in, and heck, I dove in probably too far. I went back and watched every single snap this guy. If you want to make fun of me for it, please go ahead.
You have issues, yeah. My friend. Issues.
My wife agrees. Although I did mostly at night after she went to bed, so I didn't. I don't think she knows I did that.
I'm still very well, issues.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. So, but I really did go back and watch every snap that Mike Glennon's had in the NFL. All not every snap, but every pass he's thrown, 630 of them. So here's the deal. He has talent. There's no question. Like, he has raw quarterback talent. He's a little stiff. He's not completely a statue. He can get out of the pocket and escape some pressure. But if he doesn't have a good offensive line, he's in trouble. And he had a terrible offensive line in Tampa. A lot of drop passes, too. Like, a considerable amount of drop passes. A lot of people looking at his completion percentages, which are all below 60. But if you look at his adjusted completion percentages, they're all closer to 65 because of all the drops he had. And one of his interceptions, Mike Evans stopped running because he got hurt. So things like that happen. That's why you got to dive into the tape. Beyond that, you brought up Lovie Smith earlier. I didn't cover the Buccaneers that first year he was there. But just watching Mike Glennon's tape, there was enough there that I seriously wonder if you're going to bring in Josh McCown after the season he had here in Chicago, and we did cover that. I understand it. You want to mentor the kid, and he did go through some struggles in his rookie season. I'm talking about Glennon now. But there was enough there that I don't know that I would have made McCown the starter to start the year, but okay, they did that. Then McCown got hurt. Glennon came back. This was when he really got beat into the ground and was struggling against the blitz. So it's probably why Lovie went back to McCown when he got back healthy. But I don't know. I would have done that with a kid with the upside he did. Then he never plays again, basically, because they go out and draft Jameis. Now, a lot of people just look at it and go, oh, okay, so they draft Jameis because Glennon wasn't any good. But, well, here's the thing. Jameis Winston was, like, really good coming out of college. So I understand that move. So the point here being there are real excuses to understand why the kid didn't play as much as he did in Tampa and why there's probably still some upside here for the Bears.
I didn't know this was going to turn into a bash Lovie Smith episode, but I guess I am all for it. Yeah, it's sometimes these young players have to have failure in order to grow. It sounds so cliched, but look, Lovie seemed intent in bringing Josh McCown down, a guy he had up here, and his defensive players absolutely adored in giving him a chance down there in Tampa after he had such a great fill-in run for Mark Trestman when Jay Cutler was hurt. So, yeah, there's a lot of things that can deter a quarterback situation, and we know it so well here. Again, I don't want to get in Jay Cutler's history, but it's loaded with examples of how things can go wrong for a quarterback, and it's not always the quarterback's fault. So, yes, some similar things happened down there in Tampa, but I think, again, as far as the Bears, and I know Ryan Pace didn't exactly address my question a bit, but this team needed a fresh start at quarterback. Obviously, this guy, Mike Glennon, they've had their eye on for a long time since his draft year, and things just seem to line up right for the Bears.
So we want to give you an opportunity to hear from Mike Glennon, who overall I thought was very impressive today in his first press conference at Halas Hall. But this is from our interview with Glennon after the press conference. We'll talk about the press conference in a minute, but we wanted to have a little bit of fun when Mike Glennon introduced him to the weird Chicago media that we are. So we had a chance to talk to him. It's not very long because he was rushed. He had a lot of interviews to do, but we did get a few minutes with new Bears quarterback Mike Glennon. So let's bring in Mike Glennon, the new quarterback of the Chicago Bears. Had to be nice to be called the starting quarterback of the Chicago Bears today.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it's the opportunity I've been looking forward to and working for a long time now. So I couldn't be more excited to be part of this organization and part of a team that has such a rich history, you know, of football in the NFL. And just really looking forward to getting together with all these guys and getting to work.
What's it like going through, let's call it the Chicago car wash here, press conference, interview after interview? You're the guy now. What's this like for you?
It's exciting. It's, you know, what I've dreamed of since I was a kid, to be, you know, starting quarterback. I mean, as a kid, probably, yeah, exactly. You know, this is what I've worked for. And just like I said, it's just going to be a great opportunity and ready to get to work with everyone.
Have you met this guy over here, Kevin Fishbane?
I have.
He kind of looks exactly like you.
I mean, I guess he has a little more hair than me, too.
Well, it's not for long.
I know. Well, mine's going shorter and shorter every time I get a haircut. But
we're going to start calling him Mike, Mini Mike, I think.
you should be so lucky.
Anyway, this is the Chicago media. I guess get used to us. But so as you kind of go through the next few – well, now you still got some time off now, but you seem, just from talking to you today, very studious in terms of your knowledge of the Bears, the tape you've watched on the Bears so far. What's the next step? I mean, you're just spending the next month or so getting ready for OTAs and trying to understand everything you can about this team?
Right. I mean, now I can start studying the playbook, and NFL rules will prohibit my interaction with the coaches, but I'll just have to do a lot of studying on my own and try to pick up as much as I can. And that's exciting. I mean, I enjoy it. It's my first 3 years in the NFL, I had three new offenses, so I'm kind of used to it. It was I remember last offseason, I almost felt lost not having to learn a new offense because I did. You know, it was like come January, February, March, I'm going to be learning a new offense. So it'll be cool to start learning Dallas' system and getting to work on that.
You mentioned when you saw it on tape how much it fit you, but when you got to know him and speak with him, what are your first impressions of Dal?
I like it. I mean, I'm about a foot taller than him.
Yeah, I was going to say, about a foot
at least a foot.
But he seems extremely sharp. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a reason why he's an offensive coordinator at such a young age, that he's got a bright mind, and that's what I had heard from talking with the guys around. And just from the little interaction, it seems like he has a really good plan going forward. So I'll be interested to see once I can really, you know, start studying.
Okay, so a little bit of fun there with Mike and Mini Mike, our buddy Kevin Fishbane, who covers the Bears for Pro Football Weekly, who if you go look at Twitter, I think we both tweeted out photos at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns, of the situation there of Kevin Fishbane looking a lot like Mike Glennon.
I thought it was enjoyable to hear him actually say that I'm a foot taller than Dal Loggins. Yes. That makes for a very interesting dynamic. So, look, as they say, he won the press conference. He was quite impressive. again, I don't try to make too much out of what people are when they're at a lectern or they're sitting at a podium or whatever. But he had some charisma, some natural charisma. He had some sense of humor. He's very personable. His family was here. Everybody was smiling. He handled some tough questions fairly well, especially about Tampa Bay. Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to win the Super Bowl, but he definitely won the press conference today.
Here's what impressed me. He talked openly about, you know, he didn't go into too many details about what happened in Tampa, but he talked openly about how, okay, he had to kind of take it in a positive light and work towards the opportunity that he knew he was going to have in free agency. Now, he said that might turn into him having to fill in for Jameis Winston if he ever got hurt. That didn't happen. His only time he got was during a blowout against the Falcons last season, where he actually got in the game and played pretty well, albeit against prevent defense. But really, he realized that this was going to come down to a big opportunity in free agency. So he did his homework. I mean, I was impressed with what he talked about with watching the Bears tape. You could tell he has dived into doing his research on this team. And he talked about the very talented interior offensive line, strong running game. Don't know if I completely agree with him on the playmakers on the outside that he brought up, but he was, you know, he may have been talking about Alshon Jeffrey, who has since left. So he seems like very determined. He's in what is, okay, it's the first of a 3-year deal. It's really a contract year when you look at how the contract is set up. So there's a lot of motivational factors here to think that Glennon could have success.
Well, this is the best chance of his career. Might be he had his shot, albeit, again, a shot that was deterred for various reasons in Tampa Bay. He kind of lost it, but this is his second opportunity. Some players don't get these, and this is a great chance for him to really show that he could be a starting quarterback here. And he's right. There are some things that set up nicely. The offensive line is one. I think they're allowed the seventh fewest sacks. Jordan Howard is obviously a bonus, 1,300 rushing yards last year. So you could see, at least when he sees on tape, or what he sees on tape, why there's reasons he feels like he belongs here.
Before we get to our interview with Quinton Demps, who, by the way, was also very good and impressive today, I thought, let's talk a little bit about Ryan Pace's press conference and the move that he's decided to make this week. My only problem, I think, with what was admittedly an underwhelming first day of free agency, that's not necessarily a negative thing. A lot of fans were kind of freaking out yesterday. Oh, they missed out on this guy. Oh, they're not using money on cornerback and safety, and I get it. But you don't build teams through free agency. You have to build them through the draft. And by the way, this is one of the deepest defensive back draft classes we've ever seen. So there's still, and Ryan stressed that today, there's still a long way to go here in building this roster. But my biggest problem, and I wrote about this today on WGNRadio.com, is it's got to be clear that they don't make the same mistakes that the previous regimes did with building the talent around Jay Cutler. This isn't like bringing in Cutler in terms of the potential, I think, but if you're going to bring in a new quarterback, you have to help him, okay? So my only issue with the first day of free agency is that they let Alshon go. Because to me, and we've gotten into this so many times, I understand the factors and the money, you know, fine. But you got, watching the tape, Glennon needs playmakers. And it's not just Alshon, but I think they should have made, I guess what I'm saying is their number on Ricky Wagner, assuming he did want to come to Chicago, if that was a real thing, I would have paid him $9 million a year, which is reportedly what the Lions are paying him. Because I think that Glennon needs a really strong offensive line, including at the tackle position, which right now to me is still a question mark.
Now, is it a matter of them not paying up for Alshon Jeffrey? Or did Alshon Jeffrey just want to go? Look, I saw the details of his deal, and it is full of incentives. I think it's only $8.75 million in terms of guarantees. So, look, the market wasn't out there for what Alshon Jeffrey's camp thought it would be. And look, the Bears had all the bargaining position, and obviously the negotiations never made sense for either side. I mean, Ryan Pace basically said he wasn't disappointed to lose Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, that's my translation in terms of the Alshon Jeffrey questions to him.
Also, he was asked if they made an offer, and he said, yes, we talked. It's a weird answer. It wasn't necessarily, oh, you know, we had a real offer down there. That wasn't cleared up to me in any way. Also, I asked Mike Glennon how much the Alshon situation was on his mind, because you would think, oh, I'm signing with the team. What's going on with the number one wide receiver? Is he going to be back? And he basically said, oh, he was following it casually, but he said it never came up in conversations with the Bears. I found that surprising, too.
It tells me that they sort of knew. Well, do you remember when Ryan Pace, when I asked him at the Combine how he felt, or did he have a sense of what Alshon Jeffrey, or what sense he had of Alshon Jeffrey's desire to stay in Chicago? And his answer was, yeah, I have a sense of it. It seemed to me that said no. I mean, he didn't come out and give us a clear answer, but it was no, Alshon Jeffrey does not want to be here. He's intent on testing the market, and he's probably going to leave. And I think that's what you saw. Now, that market did not develop as Alshon Jeffrey's camp thought it would. There was not a lucrative long-term deal on the table. Teams had the same concerns as the Bears about his availability, injury, suspension, whatever. And he's in his third consecutive prove-it year. And this time it's with a different team, with a different quarterback. It's really going to be interesting to see how things transpire with Jeffrey. I mean, I can honestly see him joining another team next year and leaving the Eagles.
Essentially, he got tagged by the Eagles on a contract that was less than what he would have gotten from the Bears if he was tagged, a lot less than guaranteed money. So clearly that market wasn't where he thought it was. The Bears probably knew that. I'm not sure I completely buy into the whole idea that he definitely wanted to leave the city. But obviously he wasn't married to the city, and the money, but Ryan also said it comes down to the contract and wasn't there. I mean, guesses there was a long-term deal down there, maybe, but it wasn't for the money that Alshon thinks he's worth, so he's going to go try to earn that this year. I just worry a little bit about the depth of wide receiver. Another strong area in the draft. We'll see if they burn an early pick on that, but, man, with what they didn't do in free agency yesterday, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, I'm not sure I would have given Gilmore all that money. I'm not sure I would have given A.J. Bouye all that money. Kind of a one-year wonder, mostly playing nickel. Is he worth, what was it, $10 million a year? He got $9 or $10 million a year, something ridiculous like that by the Jaguars?
More.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Pace seemed to indicate that, obviously, the contracts that Gilmore and Bouye got from the Patriots and Jaguars exceeded their expectations, or I should say their pay parameters. And, look, I get that the emotions of fans that come with free agency, you see these players, you hear a lot about these players, you see these players sign with some pretty good teams, but your team is not built that way. The Patriots are in such an amazing position. They could just pluck guys, right? They already have their core set up. They already have Tom Brady. The Bears are still trying to figure things out. And the Jaguars, look, that team goes crazy every single year in free agency. Has it worked out yet? No.
By the way, I wish I had my breaking news sounder right now. I don't. We're not hooked up with those capabilities here in the closet. Martellus Bennett is reportedly signing with the Green Bay Packers.
No kidding. Wow. That's something. That is definitely something. We might have to make a trip up to Green Bay. We should get him on this podcast. All right, this podcast has grown and evolved just like he has grown and evolved since his time in Chicago. That would be an amazing podcast.
They would be. We could work on that possibly. Martellus is still living. He's still kept his house in Chicago. He's been around since the end of the season. And I wonder if that played a part in him wanting to go to Green Bay, which isn't all that far away, because I know he still likes the Chicago area. The Bears are going to see him twice next year. That is interesting, as that is just breaking right now. Adam Schefter reporting that news as we record this podcast. All right. So three other free agents were, introduced today at House Hall. Didn't quite get the same fanfare as Mike Glennon did. But, Marcus Wheaton came across okay. Should be a nice slot addition to the Bears. Wonder how that impacts Eddie Royal, who, by the way, apparently knows Mike Glennon very well. So that's something to watch. They haven't cut Eddie Royal yet. We thought they might, but they're not up against any, you know, huge cap implications to have to do that right away. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch going forward. I think Wheaton's an okay signing. Adds to that depth, gives him a slot guy. I don't think he's a true number two though, which he, you know, right now looking at depth chart might have to be behind Kevin White, who we don't even know is a number one. Otherwise, Quinton Demps and Deion Sims. We'll get to Demps in a second, but I guess your thoughts offensively on adding Wheaton and Sims.
Well, you get a nice blocker in Sims. Obviously, I think the Bears see some potential upside in terms of him as a pass catcher. It's Marcus Wheaton who kind of stands out to me because, look, the Bears ran on Kenny Stills. They had some interest in Cordell Patterson. Has he signed anywhere yet? Just in general, the Bears wanted to inject some speed to their offense, some down-the-field threats. Obviously, they have maybe some possession-like guys in Cameron Meredith and Kevin White because who knows what his left leg is going to be. They have some nice underneath options in Zach Miller. Even Daniel Brown has some promise as a pass-catching tight end. But they needed some speed. They needed that element. They didn't have that last year. That's why they pursued Kenny Stills. That's why they have Marcus Wheaton here. So it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how he kind of is paired with what the Bears already have at receiver because they needed this element.
I like the Sims signing too. That's assuming though Zach Miller stays healthy, which is a big question mark. I think Zach Miller's really good when he's healthy. I mean, he's a legitimate receiving weapon at tight end. But they had a lot of problems last year with getting a reliable number two guy at tight end. And Sims is a good blocker. Think about how many – the only times you noticed Logan Paulson last year was when he was committing a penalty. You know, and Sims is a guy who's not going to commit too many holds. He's a good blocker. And he also can catch the ball even in the red zone. I think he had like four or five touchdowns each of the last 2 years. So he can be a red zone threat too. So I like that. Let's get to Quinton Demps. You know, interesting guy because you don't see many dudes last in the NFL as long as he has without having at least a little bit more success early on in his career. This is going into his 10th season already, and he's really only had two good years. They came in Houston the last two seasons. This was really his first chance, believe it or not, this far into his career to really make it big in the free agent market. So that's one of the things we talked to him about today as we had a chance to talk to Quinton Demps for a longer period of time than we got to talk to Mike Glennon. So here is our interview with new Bears safety Quinton Demps. First of all, take us through a little bit the process you went through the last few days, kind of your first opportunity at the age of 31 to go through free agency. It had to be pretty exciting. And how'd you land with the Bears?
Man, the process was, it could be strenuous. But, for me, like you said, man, I'm 32. Well, I'll be 32 in June. It was exciting. It was fun. My agent blew me up almost every other day, twice a day, three times a day. So it'd be good to have him not call me this for a little bit.
What's it like to feel wanted, not just by the Bears, but other teams?
That's life in general, man. Like, especially in this profession, if you want it, man, it's huge, especially at my age and, what I do and what I bring to the field. For them to show that they value, what I bring to the field was huge.
I guess going off that, how do you determine maybe who wants you the most and how you want them the most? How do you make the connection and the final decision?
Well, that's just part of the process, who called first, who's been the most consistent, who's offering the most money.
If I remember right, there was a scene on Hard Knocks a couple years ago where you were in a suit talking to Rick Smith and kind of, I don't want to say begging for a job. Is that accurate or not? But things have changed a lot in the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's the grind, man. That's the, it's life. What I'm saying? That's the payoff of, hard work, persistence, perseverance, and believing in myself, and having the right support system. So it's paid off, man. And I'm looking forward to but it ain't over, what I'm saying? Like, it just really started for me.
You're coming from a great defense with a lot of star players. When you look at the Bears and some of their young players, or anybody in general, who do you point to? Who sticks out to you as, these are big pieces to the puzzle defensively?
I don't know too much, but I know Trevathan. I know he was hurt. I know injuries hurt us a lot last year, talking to Coach Fox a lot. They say that the young guy, Floyd, I believe, is pretty talented. Tracy Porter on the outside. So I'm looking forward to getting to know, more as I study and stuff like that. I don't know too much, though.
How about scheme-wise? Yeah. Is this a good fit? Is it similar to what you were doing in Houston?
Yeah, I believe so. Like I said, I think Coach Vic, Dante Widner, and Deshaun Goldson for a while in San Francisco, and they were really aggressive safeties, you know, like to hit and, you know, make plays on the ball. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to fit the system really well.
When you met us at your first press conference here at Halasaw, you kind of talked about all the things you have to do to maintain the body. Can you go in more detail? All the advanced treatments and stuff that you do, part of your daily process to keep yourself ready, especially in your 30s and stuff.
Yeah, you know, just part of it's like putting you know, gas in your car. You know, you got to make sure you're putting the right nutrients in your body for sure. And with me, it's about being flexible. You know, making sure I stay on my soft tissue injury stuff. So a lot of massages, man, a lot of acupuncture. You know, things like that.
You mentioned in your press conference that you might have played more like you were 25. Is there a benefit possibly to the fact that maybe you didn't take the type of beating early on in your career that maybe some other players have?
I think so. I mean, I don't know, man. I think that's just something that everybody puts in the air, like, oh, he's getting older, that. But I think, you know, it's been cases where guys who are old still making plays. Terrence Newman still balling, you know. So maybe I'm one of those guys. You just never know. But I do take pride in taking care of my body, for sure.
How is your edge, your mindset kind of evolved and changed through some of the ups and downs to, you know, to this point?
I think that's kind of where I separate myself. It's just really my mentality, how I approach the day, how I approach the game. And that's a benefit of having an older guy. Like, I want to win games. I'm not here for the, you know, Louis bags and trying to win ball games, man. So just my mentality, I think, like, separates me from a lot of guys. And I'm just excited, man, to be a leader and, you know, play football.
You were right that this defense, the whole team really went through a lot of injuries last year. One thing the defense lacked, though, were takeaways. And you had more than half of the takeaways that this entire defense had last year. I'm assuming you're hoping to come in here and kind of fix that mentality, because a lot of it is a mentality.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think, especially on defense, especially on the back end of the corner, man, you got to be a dog mentally. You know what I'm saying? You get beat one play, you can't be soaking. You got to be like, you know. So yeah, it's a mentality that I think you know, I can help bring. I'm not the savior. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just gonna come be myself, get in where I fit in, and, you know, make some plays, man.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. A few years ago, their big free agent was Pernell McPhee, and he talked about having
that
dog mentality, that type of edge, that type of bravado. Just in general, what does that do to the character of a defense?
Toughness, grit, like okay, you know, they on a 13 play drive, but they ain't got a score. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a mindset, man. It's a mentality that'll help us, you know, finish strong and, you know, start fast.
Describe yourself as a safety. I mean, are you a guy that likes to move around? What are your strengths? You like to come up in the box? You more of a playmaker on the back end?
It's kind of a flow, man. I 3 years ago, I would say I'm a box guy, man. I just want to be close to the box. But, you know, as I'm older, man, I like being back to make sure everybody's lined up right, making sure he's inside leverage, you know, making sure he got the call sometimes too. But sometimes I do like to get down and press and get in the box. So I've kind of, you know, become both, you know, really. I think I went from a straight box guy to a guy who can play both.
So instinctually, you kind of feel like you're one of those guys that can kind of read what's happening, you know, kind of before it even happens, because that's something his defense has lacked in the last few years.
Yeah, I think definitely I can do that. A lot of that comes from experience, though. You know, I've seen everything that you can do. So instincts is big, too.
All right, what do you know about Chicago? Deep dish pizza, the Sears Tower. What do you know about the history?
85 Bears, baby. No, the pizza, too, man. Yeah. I hear about the pizza a lot. 85 Bears, the pizza, and the Wind, right? And Kanye West and Chance the Rapper.
You know the Windy City nickname has nothing to do with the Wind, though.
My driver told me that today.
Yeah.
He did, man. He learned something new every day. He told me that today. I was like, what? Yeah. So the wind don't blow? He was like, yeah, but ain't why they got the name. So
cool. It definitely gets windy, but it's all the hot air the politicians blow here.
Right.
Well, you brought up Chance, all right?
Yeah.
I saw you brought him up on Twitter yesterday, too. What's the relationship there?
There's no relationship. He big-timed me, too. He didn't even hit me back, man. No, I was just giving him a shout-out, man. You know, I appreciate his art. I appreciate what he does. You know, it ain't all, you know, the best substance, but it's substance and it's truth to, you know, how he grew up. So I appreciate him. I'm a music fanatic. You know, I love music, and so appreciate Chance and Kanye, what they do for music.
Chicago's perfect at that with the whole the blues scene that stuff.
Right.
Well, Chance has certainly taken over the city the last couple years. Hope you are taking over at least the Bears defense next season. Thanks for joining us, Quinn. Really appreciate it. Welcome to Chicago.
Thank you, man.
Okay, a few things I like there from Quentin Demps. I like the fact that he talked about, and he went into this a little bit in his press conference too, his leadership abilities. And he said one of the things he loves to do in his interview with us, he said, to kind of know what's happening around in the defense, getting guys lined up properly, kind of being that quarterback of the defense, which is something that this defense has lacked for a very, very long time.
Well, the Bears, a couple of years ago, had hoped Antrell Roll would be that, and he wasn't the same Pro Bowl player that he was before. He struggled with injuries. Obviously, he left in some very he was very upset with how he left the organization after getting hurt, slipping on the field and all that. I do like the idea of not just going fully at the youth movement in the secondary. Look, Adrian Amos has made a lot of starts, but we're still looking for his first interception. Hill Jones Quarty, you ask Vic Fangio, still struggles with maintaining his assignments and knowing his responsibilities and being in the right places that he needs to be as prescribed by the call. So obviously you have those guys who need to grow. Deion Bush, he's clearly still a work in progress, the fourth-round pick from last year. So injecting a guy who's been around, seen some things, has intercepted actual passes, unlike some of these guys, it'll help.
Yeah, it will, but he's got to stay healthy, and that's the question, being 32 years old. Sounds like he takes care of his body. That's a good plus. And look, they still got to address the other safety position. They might even want to bring in two more, you know, between the draft and free agency and kind of make more of this competition. And then cornerback, too, that needs to be addressed. So a lot going on here so far in what the Bears have done so far. By the way, I should throw out there, too, that I was told yesterday Kyle Fuller is probably still going to be around with the team. They view him as a guy who's now healthy and motivated going into a contract year. He's still a former first-round pick. We saw some talent there early on. And so he's at least going to be in the mix to compete for one of the cornerback spots, from what I understand.
Here's my prediction. Number three pick, the Bears take a cornerback. The kid from Ohio State.
Garyon Conley or Marshawn Lattimore?
Lattimore, come on.
Yeah, I know. Well, Conley's probably going to go in the first round, too. Lattimore, good. The health thing scared me off of last week when he pulled up running his 40. It was an impressive 40 for getting hurt. It was still like under 4.4. But those hamstring issues, we'll see. All right, well, guess that's going to wrap it up for us here in the closet at Hallis Hall. Plenty of news still to come probably on these Bears over the next couple weeks, and we'll be here for you. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read everything we write, WGNradio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com. And follow along by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. Hogue and Johns, search for it, rate it, review it. We appreciate you doing that. Any final thoughts?
None. I got to say, my one big takeaway today was Mike Glennon was pretty darn impressive. He won his press conference. Let's see if he can win some football game.
Staring at a picture of Martellus Bennett in a Packer hat. It's weird. And thanks to Kevin Fishbane for being a good sport today. Mini Mike. He's going to have to be a character on the show.
It's better than the nickname Trestman gave him, Ken.
What did he call David Hall?
JD.
Oh, yeah. Jeff. He thought David Hall was Jeff Dickerson. That's great. Oh, the Trestman days. Good luck to him in Toronto. All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys soon.